I want to take a few moments this morning to honor someone with courage in our history, Dr. Newell Trask. Newell Trask is the first name in our membership book and the first name to sign the covenant. He was one of the founders, if not the founder, of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Loudoun. There are people over and over again when I ask them to talk about him who talk about his kindness and his gentle way of being in the world. I guess before we got this building, they met in the upper floor of the Loudoun Museum in Leesburg. There were hymnals, but no piano. And so Newell would choose the hymns, and then congregants wouldn't sing them, but they would speak them. In the beginning, in his quiet, unassuming way, he took the responsibility of making sure this church got off the ground and that it survived. It was a difficult feat. No speakers, no place to meet, no real organization. It got done because he was the kind of leader who listened to others and included all in the circle. Today we honor the life of this man, and I think it's appropriate to do this by extinguishing our chalice, the symbol of our faith. A light has truly gone out in this world. We will no longer hear the sound of his voice, feel the touch of his hand, or see the kindness in his eyes. But his light lives on in us, in the work he did, in the stories we tell, and in who we become as a church, in who we are to each other and to the larger community. And so we light a candle to symbolize his spirit and the spark of life he leaves behind. In mystery we are born, in mystery we live, and in mystery we die. Love, once again, break our hearts open wide. Courage, oh my goodness. Some days it just takes courage to get out of bed in the morning and go out. And it takes courage to be who we are, and it takes a while, I think, to figure that out. I was in my late 40s or early 50s before I could admit out loud a truth about myself. I'm going to share it with you. I am not a pet person. Don't get me wrong. I love animals. I just don't need to live with one or own one. That doesn't mean I don't have my favorites. There are two West Highland Terriers named Ellie and Annie on my walk in San Diego. Mickey and Buddy, a Maltese and a Coton de Tulier that live with my friends Donia and Giles. Maggie, my friend Leah's black lab. Joe, an orange tabby who is king of the lawn and the best cat in the world. Echo the gecko, but I don't pet him, really. Thankfully, these are also someone else's familiars. I tell you this not to have you not invite me into your home, if you are a pet person, or to keep your pet away from me when I do visit, but to tell you something about me, and to tell you something that took courage for me to admit to myself and to others, especially those people with pets. I never wanted to admit it because I was afraid of being judged. And people who have pets feel a special kind of way about those pets. I know this. And I thought they would feel differently about me if I didn't feel the same way. Tell the truth. Are you judging me just a little bit right now? Making some assumptions or some story about why I am this way? Worried about how you'll feel if I do visit your house? Relax. I like animals. I do. But allergies to pet dander and pet hair made me face a personal reality. The feeling that my nose was itchy and my mouth felt like it was filled with hair made me realize that perhaps I knew before I was ready even to admit it to myself that I should keep my distance and not own a pet. So this kind of courage, this courage to be who we are, and the courage to say who we are in the bodies we have, to love what we love, to acknowledge our limitations or even just our preferences, to come out about who we are, about our sexuality and who we love, to name who we are, warts and all, that does take some courage, some nerve. And that's but one level of courage. For me to say, I'm not a pet person, I'm not a fan of French toast, I'm an artist at heart, I was a cheerleader in high school. I'm still a cheerleader, honestly, in my heart. To admit to a mistake I made is the courage to be who I really am in all my humanity. The courage for us to be who we are in the world, with all our gifts and all our challenges and our joys and our sorrows, our heartbreak and our healing, our knowing and and honoring those unknown parts of ourselves. There's another part about pet people, though, that I have great admiration for. Pet people devote their time and energy to an animal, knowing that it will, in all likelihood, die before they do. The pain and the loss, why put ourselves through that intentionally? And then when one pet dies, either right away or after a time, pet people go out and get another one. You put yourselves through that again and again. Courage to me at its finest, tiniest point is the ability to say yes and yes again to life, knowing that what awaits us at the end is certain death. As my 86-year-old friend says, none of us is getting out of this alive. Harvey Cox is a research professor at Harvard who studied with philosopher and theologian Paul Tillich. He says that courage is the capacity to affirm oneself in spite of death, finitude, and anxiety, which are constantly arrayed against it. He also says that none of us is ever outside this struggle, because death means that we may not be. Our very act of existence means we may not exist. To be or not to be truly is a question of courage. To choose day after day to live, to love, to work, to play, to question, to mourn, to dance, to believe, to hope, to affirm ourselves, to accept our very existence, to see as holy and sacred the fact that we are here, is affirmation of our being here. That's all it takes. There's nothing we have to do. There's nothing we have to do. There's nothing we have to do. And yet, our beingness, our existence, must continually be affirmed. This is the essence of each of us, this striving to maintain ourselves. This is courage. Courage from the Latin core, the heart. The heart is the seat of emotions, but it's more than that. It's the vital center of reality, including human reality. If I only had a heart, the tin man's desire meant he could feel. That itself would be the essence of being human. Last spring, I bought some cocktail napkins that are rather tongue-in-cheek. I know you can't read it, but they read, I have mixed drinks about feelings. Right. Yes. Oh, the heart. Oh, the feels, as the millennials say these days. We want to feel, but our willingness to actually feel the feelings and not numb them with food or alcohol or drugs or distractions takes courage. Moving through these feelings can transform them, can affirm our being, the essence of life itself, and that takes courage. Because feelings produce anxiety. No amount of self-help manuals or positive thinking may be able to help with this particular kind of anxiety because it's existential. It moves beyond. It goes deeper than our fears. Fear has an object. We're afraid of something. But existential anxiety is about our not being. And yet, here we are, being. And I know that this week, this month, this year, there's plenty to be afraid of. But the kind of anxiety that Tillich speaks about is the sheer naked terror of not being alive. And yes, this, I believe, can be brought on by events that happen that threaten our very existence. This is the personal level of courage. The courage to choose day after day to live. The courage to say who we are, to be who we are. Unitarian Universalists have a lot of familiarity with this. So much familiarity that sometimes it verges on the problematic. The I Church, our minister in Annapolis, Fred Muir, calls it individualism. The Transcendentalist movement, Ralph Waldo Emerson, all those things that make it about the individual. Individual fulfillment, individual enlightenment, individual and personal growth. There's nothing wrong with it. It's necessary. We have to do it. We have to have it to be self-actualized, right? But individualism isn't all there is. As they say, it's not all about you. There's a cultural and collective courage that's necessary for our beingness, both for our individual survival and the survival of the planet. Our willingness, our courage to be part of the whole is to recognize our fellow human and non-human travelers on this journey. We seek others not for distraction from our anxiety, but for connection, to share in the precariousness of being. Life is fragile. We are all connected and dependent on one another, though individualism may tell us that we are not. Our UU faith tells us that we are. We search for personal meaning and we search for meaning as a collective. I think of this as collective courage. We act courageously not just for our own benefit, but for the larger whole. This courage often looks like outward courage. The courage to be out in the world, not just to declare who we are, but also what we believe and what we value. This kind of courage is in our relationships, in our interdependence on each other, and in our dependence on the planet for our survival. This has been a difficult week, another difficult week. And unless we've chosen to numb ourselves to the pain inflicted on so many people, I dare say it's been a week for all of us. I saw a cartoon this week that I brought with me. It's the heart, and it's saying, "I'm going to bed. Wake me when the world is fixed." And it's the brain next to the heart that says, Sorry, heart. The world needs you. I love the creativity of the brain in times like these. I watch how people I know and those I don't live out their courage in the world. I watch the determination and the creativity and the willingness to put their lives and what we might call their dignity on the line, because their brains think it through and know how to keep the heart engaged, and their heart feels and lets courage arise from that. My friend Justine this week got so frustrated that she called the White House comment line, and she had been on hold for a long time, so she looked up the number for the White House direct, and she was on hold. She got the real person. You know, when you call that line, someone answers the phone, and she said, "I'd like to speak to the president or someone who can get a message to him." Of course, they put her through to the comment line, but she did leave a message. But the very idea that she would just call that line was kind of inspiring to me. And then there's the Monopoly guy. Have you heard about the Monopoly guy? A person dressed in a black top hat with a bushy white mustache, a red tie, a white shirt, a black suit, started showing up at hearings of the Equifax data breach in the Senate Banking Committee. Uncle Pennybags sometimes would put a monocle up to his eye and then use large paper money to wipe the sweat from his brow. But it turns out that Monopoly Guy is a gal named Amanda Werner from Americans for Financial Reform and Public Citizens. This is part of a protest by a group that wants to draw attention to forced arbitration clauses that are used throughout the financial industry and limit consumers' ability to take disputes to court. So the Monopoly guy is fighting that. 350 Loudoun. We have some church members who are part of this group. You may have seen some of them dressed in Wizard of Oz costumes parading around town at different events. You may have wondered what that was all about, thought it was a little weird maybe. Honestly, come on, admit it. But I'm going to say that 350 is pretty much on the cutting edge. It's pretty much a cutting edge organization. I attended an event they were part of, a morning of prayer involving different clergy and religious organizations down in Woodbridge. I found out why they dress in Wizard of Oz costumes, because they've rewritten the words to "If I only had a brain, if I only had a heart, if I only had a nerve." And here is just the line from The Lion. "You could flash your inner courage, stop a tragical occurrence if you only had the nerve. Stand up to dominion power. This is now the final hour for all life upon the earth. We won't blindly follow. We'll shout and then we'll holler till our leaders get a brain, a heart, and nerve." Indeed, it takes all three, and courage arises from both thoughts and feelings, the brain and the heart. And thankfully, we have the brain to say, "Here is the way out, the way forward, the next step, dear heart. Do not shut yourself off from the world. The world needs you, needs your feelings to give rise to your courage, needs your love, needs your pain, needs your being, your life, to tell your truth, to live your life out loud, to depend on each other and let others depend on you. This, friends, is our sacred work, to participate in this process of where the cosmos creates and recreates itself. This is the courage to be. Today, may our greatest act, our greatest work, our greatest courage, maybe it's to have hope. Let this be our holy work then, the work of hope in the world. Have the courage to hope, friends, to fight for hope as though your being depends on it, because it does right now. Work for that and for each other. Blessed be and amen. Please rise in body or in spirit and join in singing our last song, which is "This Little Light of Mine, Let It Shine in the World."